Desert Island Discs.
Our castaway this week is one of the world's greatest pianists. Now very active in his 51st season as a concert performer, here is Benno Moiseevich. Mr. Moiseevich, do you collect records?
No.
Not even your own?
Well, I have all my records, chiefly because they're sent to me after I made them. But with a few exceptions of records by friends, I couldn't call myself a collector.
How long ago did you make your own first record?
Well, that was about 1915.
And you've been recording ever since?
In the old days, before the electric recording started.
Yes. Now, how do you feel about this prospect of being dumped alone on a desert island?
I'm not looking forward to it at all.
You like having people around, don't you?
I like to have people, I like to have life, I like comfort.
Yes, none of which I'm afraid we can promise you on the island. How have you set about choosing these 8 records that might make life a little bit better?
Well, since you sort of intend to kidnap me, I gave it a little thought and I decided I would rather choose some records that bring me into spiritual communion with friends that recorded them or composed them or lived in parts of the world which has special nostalgic memory.
Yeah. What's the first one you've got there?
First one I have isn't music in the accepted sense, but I sort of visualize myself being cast on that island of yours, and I know that I would be terribly miserable, and that somehow brought me back to the gloomy, dark days of the war, when we were all suffering and went through cheerless days, but we always looked forward to hearing a voice that always inspired us with confidence, optimism, and good cheer. I would like to hear that voice right now.
Hitler knows that he will have to break us in this island or lose the war. If we can stand up to him, all Europe may be freed, and the life of the world may move forward into broad, sunlit upland. But if we fail, then the whole world, including the United States, including all that we have known and cared for, will sink into the abyss of a new dark age, made more sinister and perhaps more protracted by the light of perverted science.
The inspiring voice of Winston Churchill and an excerpt from one of his famous wartime speeches. This one was in June 1940. Well, what's your second choice, Mr. Moiseevich?
My second choice is a recording of a rehearsal by Toscanini. All the world knows that he was the greatest conductor that ever lived, but few have a glimpse at the way he manages and trains his orchestra. And he's never happy, loses his temper, until he reaches just what he wants. And of course, you generally hear just what he wants, but you don't know how he achieves it. So this is a sample of the rehearsal.
Toscanini at rehearsal, a very rare record which I'm afraid is not generally obtainable. What next?
Before we come to the next record, I would like to mention something which is not known to the world, and I'm sure they would be interested. One day, then Mr. Churchill said to me that if he had chosen music as a profession, he would have liked to have been a conductor. Little did he realize that he really proved the greatest conductor of all time by the way he conducted his war cabinet, his ministers. If somebody was playing out of tune, he would pick another member of the orchestra until he formed the greatest combination of members in an orchestra. And with that, he achieved the triumph, conducting a great triumph, as we all know.
That's a very apt analogy. Now, what's your third record going to be?
For the third record, I would like the Brasiliano, or Brasileira, number 5, by Villa-Lobos, whom I had the pleasure of knowing personally. It's beautifully recorded, and it reminds me so much of the exotic countries that I visited. One was Brazil. And a superb artist, Vido Sayal, singing. That is something out of this world.
Janas Brasileiras, number 5, by Villa-Lobos, and I do agree with you about that last note. Well, now, Mr. Moisevich, at this point, the castaway is expected to undergo an interrogation about his early life. You were born in Russia, is that right?
Yes.
Where about?
The south, Odessa.
A lovely town, isn't it?
Well, I left it about 54 years ago, but I still have most lovely memories of the town.
Did you have many opportunities to hear music as a child? Were your parents musical?
Parents, no. They were not active musicians, but always very fond of music. The only member in the family, we were 7 brothers and 2 sisters, was one of my sisters that played the piano. And for my sins, somehow I was discovered, always standing as if riveted to the piano when she was practicing.
How old were you when you started studying yourself?
Oh, about 6:30.
6:30. And you studied in Odessa?
I studied for 5 years in Odessa.
And then?
Then, if I must confess, I was expelled from the school.
Many great men have been expelled from school.
Not because I was bad as a pupil, but I was supposed to be very mischievous. And one day they discovered that the brick from the gate was on the floor, and I frivolously said that I did it. Well, I was called before the directors, and they said, "We made allowances for you all these years, but when you start demolishing the school, that is too much for us." So they really punished me for 3 months or so. But meanwhile, there were exchanges of messages with my brother that lived in London, and they decided to send me to London to continue my studies. And I went and played to Professor Dr. Cummings, who once said that he didn't think there was anyone in this country who could teach me, and advised me strongly to go to Vienna, where the greatest piano teacher, Leschetizky, lived. And I went, and I stayed there for 3 seasons, about 2.5 years. I arrived back in the summer of 1908, gave my first concert in Reading on the 1st of October, and here we are.
Well, let's break off there and have record number 4. What's that going to be?
Well, the 4th record, I would like you to hear an arrangement for the piano by a very great friend of mine, Vladimir Horowitz. Everybody knows he's one of the greatest pianists alive, but fewer people know that he's also a wonderful arranger. And in this composition, he practically out-list Liszt. It's enormously difficult, and we can hardly believe that two hands can produce sounds which resemble a band, and it's called The Stars and Stripes Forever.
His own transcription of Stars and Stripes Forever. Well, getting back to your career, Mr. Moisevich, you made your professional debut here in England, and England has been your base ever since.
Yes, a domicile.
But you've been all over the world since then. To start with, is there any European country which you haven't played in, as far as you know?
I shouldn't think so. If there are any, they wouldn't interest me.
And then, of course, South Africa, Australia, the entire American continent, the Far East. Have you been back to Russia at all?
No. I've never been back since I left.
How many major works have you studied? How many are in your repertoire? Have you counted up?
Oh, I couldn't tell you, except I know one thing. That I remember one year, I forget which year, but I've got it somewhere recorded. At home, that played 21 different concertos in one season.
How much practice do you do? Do you do more now than you used to, or less?
Well, I practice now as much as I can. Of course, it's a little difficult when you travel, but even so, I travel with a dummy piano. Frankly speaking, I didn't like the piano at all until I started with the musician. And then I used to practice anything between 6 and 8 hours a day. There were no concerts to interfere. And even now, I practice as much as I can when I'm at home.
Yours is a very dedicated profession.
Well, it's well worth it.
I think we'd better have record number 5 now.
Number 5 is one of the great characters of this age. Somebody I shunned, I wouldn't go on to hear. When I was in America, people tried to drag me to go. And I said, no, it's bad enough to go and listen to a pianist playing for 2 hours. But for somebody to make fun of the piano, I wouldn't do it. And for weeks and months, I wouldn't go. But eventually, I went. And I completely fell under his spell. He's a wonderful personality, a natural wit, and he's just as much a funny man in private life as he is on the stage. And I very often stay with him. We often meet when he's here, and I'm very proud of knowing him. We shall certainly need a laugh on the desert island, so let's have a few of his quips.
If time permits, I would like to squeeze in The Minute Waltz by Chopin. This happens to be the first number I ever learned to play while my sister taught me the piano. She was my first teacher. The Minute Waltz by Chopin. And it won't take long. She's only my half-sister.
The one and only Victor Gordon. And what next?
Next, I would like to play a recording by Shalapin of his farewell in Boris Godunov by Mussorgsky. It is great music, and Shalapin was a great artist. But it's more that I would like to be transported, even for a short while, to the country where I was born. And Mussorgsky was much more Russian composer than any Russian composers that enjoyed the Western culture. He was hardly cultural, but he was a man and composer of the soil, as so typically Russian, that you invariably feel yourself being on his ground.
Moiseevich, you've told us that you hate the idea of being a castaway on this desert island. Are you going to manage in a practical sense? Do you think you could look after yourself?
Not at all. I'll never look after myself in a civilized country. Still much less on an island.
You don't think you'd be very good at building shelter for yourself?
I wouldn't do a thing. If you must kidnap me there, you've got to provide me with a first-class cook and a valet.
I'm sorry, but it's in the contract and in the rules. You're there all on your own. Can you cook?
No, I cannot cook.
Can you fish?
Listen, we haven't got much time to be much longer on the island. So let's get over it.
Let's get off this shameful subject and back to music. All right, number seven.
Oh, number seven. There we touch on a person who was a great friend of mine. I admired more than anyone, as a man, as a composer, and as a pianist. And I would like to hear the end of his Rhapsody, played by him. He was, of course, the greatest pianist, to my mind, of any. Impeccable technique, taste, artistry, and wonderful personality. And if I listened to his playing, it'll bring back very happy moments that we used to spend together.
Rachmaninoff playing the last variations in his Rhapsody on a Theme of Paganini. Well, now we've got to your last record. What have you said to Julia?
Well, with my apologies, and I blush, it's like from the sublime to the ridiculous, but happens to be a recording of mine, a transcription of Rachmaninoff, of which I'm very proud. I never claim that I'm anywhere near Rachmaninoff's level as pianist in every set. But it so happened that I was asked to record. I had a session, and everybody was in good form, and I finished my session about with half an hour to spare. And I was so delighted, I started putting on my collar and getting ready to go with my collaborator, When he came out of the cubicle and said to me, "Well, that was fine, but listen, we still have half an hour to spare. What about playing something?" I said, "No, I have done what I wanted to do and I don't want it anymore." He said, "Oh, just something. We don't have to issue it immediately. We'll keep it in reserve." So I said, "Wait a moment. Incidentally, I wanted to make this recording of the scherzo for months and months earlier, but they didn't think the time was opportune. On this occasion," I said, "I'll tell you what I will do. Just put on a master record, and I'll play once through the scherzo. If it comes off, good. If it doesn't, we'll go and eat our oysters." He said, "Splendid." I took my collar off again, sat down on the piano, and I started. And 4.5 minutes, because there's not a moment's respite from the whole work. When I finished, I put up my two thumbs, and this is the result.
Brilliant recording of the scherzo from Midsummer Night's Dream, recorded, you tell us, with no rehearsal or preparation at all. Well, there are your records, Mr. Moisevich. You've still got one more choice to make, and that's your luxury. Every castaway is allowed to take one luxury to the island. What would you like?
Well, if I had my choice, I'll take the luxury and nothing else.
All right.
I was thinking about a roulette table.
Yes.
It wouldn't provide me with any spiritual relaxation, but certainly mental. And I would chiefly want it because I hear that there are lots of systems in which I don't believe. But it would be great fun for me to look forward to discovering something and forgetting the days and hours and years that I might be spending there.
Yes.
And I promise if I do achieve success, I'll let you into my
system.
System.
Thank you very much.